The Old Testament reading is from Exodus, the 16th chapter. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Good to see everyone again this evening as we come together in our Sabbath rest, and especially to receive tonight what Jesus calls himself, the bread of life. Not long ago, we lost, at least temporarily, one of our good members by the name of Frank. As I was preparing everything for his funeral, his family told me one very special characteristic about Frank was that he thought a lot about food, and he loved food. In fact, he did not think that any meal was a proper meal unless it included some bread. When I first met Frank, he showed me his beautiful garden, a huge garden. He loved the work in that garden. He's very thankful for all of the vegetables and food that garden provided.
God's word as well. And he saw the fruit that it produced and was thankful for it as well. Let's remember again these verses from John 6. Great verses for us to keep in mind throughout this upcoming week. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, for which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. God provides us with all the resources we need to stay alive physically. He gives us food, water, clothing, shelter, and medicine. We have to work for them. They don't just fall into our laps. We have to plant, harvest, cook, sow, and build. But it is God at the foundation who provides the sun and the soil, the rain, the muscle, and the mind to get all these things done and to receive these resources and the bread of life physically. Many people today, we're hearing much of this in the news, complain about the age-old problem of poverty and hunger. Some people live sumptuously and lavishly. Other people live very very meagerly. In fact, some are suffering even right now for their lack of food. There's much to be blamed on, much to be seen as a blame for these problems. Some say it's all caused by the oppression of the rich against the poor. There are others who say most of it is caused by laziness. And each side fights for power in the government to enforce their own solutions on this age-old problem. But the real problem is that neither side will admit that both oppression and laziness are part of the problem of hunger and lack and need in this world. At its root, it is a problem of sin. Both problems are real. Oppression. There are people who cheat. There are people who take advantage of others economically. There are landlords who cheat their renters. There are sellers who price gouge their buyers. These things happen all the time in our world. And the Word of God speaks against that kind of oppression. In Deuteronomy 25, for example, we read, for all who do such things, all who act dishonestly, are an abomination to the Lord. The Bible also speaks equally to the problem of laziness, slothfulness, and sluggardliness. If anyone will not work, Paul said, neither shall he eat. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Many in this world are glad not to work and eat the bread of others. These are both problems that contribute to that overall situation. But Jesus wants us to see beyond all of these things to the real problem and the real solution to these problems. And that is where we look to a different kind of bread, a different kind of food that endures to eternal life. We will never escape these problems of sin in our world. There is no university, no government, no movement, no crusade that will solve these problems caused by sin. The bread of life sermon that we're hearing about this week, next week, and the following Sunday from John chapter 6 provide for us the real solution, the ultimate solution that we need. If we live in this world, no matter what we do, whether we work hard or cheat, no matter what, sin will eventually have the last word. Sin is that impossibility on our part to obey God perfectly and to do His will. And everything that is associated with sin will ultimately perish, as Jesus says. It will be destroyed. Only when we are separated from that problem of sin, only when God gives us a different kind of energy, a different kind of nourishment, a different kind of strength to overcome powers, will we find true life and indeed eternal life. And Jesus came expressly for this purpose, to provide a different kind of bread in himself as the Son of God. This sermon follows this great miracle that we heard about not long ago, the feeding of the 5,000. One of the most amazing miracles that Jesus ever performed, taking 5 loaves, 2 fish, and dividing them up among thousands of people. It was one of the few miracles that so many people saw at once. And so there were some in that crowd who wanted to get a hold of Jesus. And they saw the potential in him creating miracles like that to solve the problem of hunger and want and need in this world. But that's how Jesus launched into this sermon, to show those who saw that miracle, to show all of us this greater miracle of the power of God's Word. Power of God's Word to root out the real problem of sin, which is in lies. The lies of the devil, whispering in our ears, in our minds, in our hearts. To deny our sinful nature, to ignore the words of God and the Ten Commandments, urging us to self-righteousness, pride, condemnation of others, to justify our bad behavior with excuses we can't help it, or we deserve to be happy no matter what. Every one of those lies are stepping stones leading us to his ultimate goal, which is perdition. Instead, God sent his Son Jesus to be the bread of life for us. He sent his Son Jesus to provide what we need to live forever, to engage us in this bread of life. As you are doing right now, when you come to worship, gather together here around the Word of God, everything you do is connecting you to Christ, is removing that problem of sin in your heart and soul, and strengthening you to go out and live the life that God calls his servants to live. Our sitting, our standing, our listening, our responding, our singing, our praying, all of this is a feast which we are privileged to have with Jesus, the bread of life. In our first lesson this evening from Exodus chapter 16, Moses provides an interesting picture of God's way of providing the bread of life. Do you recall? Israel was caught in a terrible famine. And so they went down to Egypt, where one of theirs was already living, Joseph. And through Joseph's faith, and Joseph's wisdom, and Joseph's obedience to God, they were able to find the food that they needed. But Joseph died, and with him died his faith and his wisdom. And Israel became enslaved. And over 400 years passed until God sent another prophet, Moses, to lead the people of Israel out of their slavery, out of their hunger, out of their life of living kind of living death. But I want you to notice that the exodus of Israel from Egypt was not really a new system. It was not a new government. That was not what was at the center and the solution of their problems. Why did God lead them out of Egypt and into the wilderness of all places, where there is hardly any food at all? He led them there to give them the bread of life, which is worship. He led them there so that he could be their God and that they could be his people. As they listened and read and received the Torah, the instructions of the Lord, they began to live in a new way and began to worship. And in all the other things that God provided for them, they learned the real life, the eternal life. Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me will not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Not only was the weekly Sabbath the celebration of God's grace to the people of Israel important, but also God emphasized to the Israelites a daily kind of nourishment. And just as we all need to eat, every day, a couple of times, 3 times, for some of you 4 or 5 times a day, we know we need this stuff called manna down from heaven. The Hebrew word manna literally means, what is it? It's a question. People in Israel had never seen it before. All they knew was what God had told them to go out and gather every day, and just enough for that day and no more. God was teaching them something, teaching them about not only that manna that they didn't understand, but also believing His words and obeying them and following them. And in so, God gave Israel life in every way, physically and spiritually. And He does the very same thing for us as well today. My family and I, my wife and my daughter anyway, part of our family, just returned home from a wonderful vacation in Colorado, to the mountains, to the rivers, to the trees, to the trails. Beautiful things to see. But there was another beautiful thing that we passed through on the way to Colorado. Most people don't think of this as being very beautiful. And I'm talking about the fields of Kansas and of eastern Colorado. Most people look at those things and say, you might get through here or fly over here as fast as possible. Boy, that's a big mistake. People ought to look at that a second time and in a second way. As I looked at those fields, recently cut fields of wheat, miles and miles, square miles, I can't even imagine how much food was provided by those fields that would literally feed millions of people. The Kansas, the Colorado wheat farmers are the breadbasket of the world. And in all of these ways, God provides in those resources the physical food that we need. It reminded me, though, of a song, some of you may remember this song, titled Matthew, about a Kansas wheat farmer who worked hard, who planted, who harvested, and reaped the benefits that God had given to him through the land. But there was another problem that I didn't mention before, the problem of oppression, the problem of laziness. But there is a third problem that often causes hunger and want. And that is the disorder and the dysfunction of this world since the fall into sin. The promise that God gave us of thorns and the need to work and to sweat in order to receive the food that we need for our daily life. In this song, Matthew came on the hard times. And there was a tornado that destroyed his wheat, destroyed his farm, and destroyed even his family. But as the song concludes, the writer, John Denver, tells us there was one thing that was not destroyed, and that was the family Bible and the faith as solid as a stone. That's a beautiful, great example of what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 6, the Bread of Life sermon. He is showing us that God is with us, providing for us in our working, in our laboring, in our sharing, helping our neighbors, and all of those things, but ultimately in the gift of His Son, to overcome that real problem that lies at the root of all forms of sin and all of its effects in this world. To give us life, not just for the